Hello, hello, all my beautiful leading ladies. I'm Antoinette Westcott, here with my co-host, Renee L. Page.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello.
This week, we have Benny De La Chica joining us. Yeah. I have to have fun with your name. Yes. Benny De La Chica is an extremely captivating and thoughtful human. Her films and documentaries have been selected in over 100 film festivals. A Columbia University alum, her work has been broadcasted in Denmark and Spain. Her film, Something to Believe In, was presented at the Academy and won an Emmy at the College Television Awards. De La Chica is a trained flamenco singer, an extremely talented writer with a heart of gold. Her magnificent and exuberant personality allows her to connect with just about anyone. Please welcome to our podcast today, Benny De La Chica.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with a few rapid fire questions, just to whatever comes to mind, whatever you think of first, just run with it. Okay. What's your favorite book?
My favorite book, I think, is Cien Años de Soledad, which is 100 Years of Solitude, I think, in English, from Gabriel García Márquez.
Okay. Okay. What's it about?
So it's about a family, like... He tells the story of a small village, Macondo, and the family that, like, focus the story of a family, and then how, like, the history of the family when the parents died, and how the history of the family repeats with other members of the family. Gabriel García Márquez is a very famous writer from Colombia. So it's like this social...
What kind of genre writing. Does he do?
It's like social writing, but with a little of fantasy. I really like his books. Because it's reality, but also it's kind of a little fantasy.
That sounds interesting. Do make them in English or just in Spanish?
No, in for sure you're gonna find the book in English. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
He's incredible, famous. Like, he's one of the best writers. Like, but also I am reading now. Because I am from Andalusia. I am from the south of Spain.
Yes.
We have also a lot of very good writers. And I am reading now poetry from García Lorca, which he is one of the most famous poets in the world. He's... books everyone knows his books. Like, he emigrated to New York. He was living in New York for a period of time, because with the dictatorship in Spain, he need to emigrate. Mm-hmm. And he has a book that is called El Romancero Gitano, which is a book about poetry about gypsies. Okay. But this book while he wrote this book while he was living in New York. And it's a poetry book. So sometimes I take some lyrics for my music from him. Because his poetry is so powerful, and I take some lyrics from his poetry and I adapt it. So
it's your inspiration.
I got the book a few months ago in Spain, and I am just reading to get
inspiration. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could have coffee with one person, who would it be?
Oof. But they
Your writer.
They are dead.
Yeah, who?
I think with Ingmar Bergman, like the film director from Sweden. Hmm.
What is he known for?
So he directed like Fanny and Alexander, Persona. He's a very famous director.
But well, sorry if I don't know who they are.
It's okay. It's okay.
I want to know about these people. These are the people that I need to know their work also, because yes. That is, in America, we're a little self-absorbed and we don't like see other countries.
For me, he's like one of the masters. I mean, for me, is him Federico Fellini from Italy. From Spain, I will put like Carlos Saura Almodóvar from Spain. And Bardem, like the actor, his father was a director.
Okay.
So very famous director. So
nice.
Yes.
But and Buñuel, like for me, like Bergman is kind of one of the best directors. Like he's from Sweden, like he died, but all his films are available for free on YouTube. Like, because he died like a long time ago. So everything is, you can use his things, his films and like his books are for free also.
Okay.
They are free of rights, let's say, yeah. Oh. And he has a foundation also in Sweden. So they are very good. Like you send them an email if you want to use something and the people in the foundation gonna answer you. They are really good, like doing this job. So Bergman, like he was a theater director and then he went into film and he directed like a lot of films, like a lot of them. And the good thing why I really like him is he has films always that talk about family, but like very deep into kind of issues that I think nobody can tell as well as he did. So for example, like he has a film that is Sonata. He has a film that is about a relationship about a mother and a daughter, and about how they meet. They a lot of time passed and they meet and the mother come to the house and there are a lot of issues between them and. I don't know, for me, it's like I start to cry with his films because he goes into deep, deep conflict with family that I think is very difficult to pull all these feelings and all this conflict like in a film and in a real way.
And so what do you think that makes that possible for to actually show? Writing. Because I'm thinking about that, like how can I... what's here, get it out.
Right.
I think one is his writing because he really developed that, like the story, like step by step until you get to the climax where you have this conversation that you never have with your mother. And, you know, and it's incredible. Like it's real, it's rough, it's deep, it's, and also like the actresses that he chose. The actresses, he always worked with the same actresses.
Okay.
So you can tell like he get to the point that he really know the actors.
So he basically writes for them.
I think so. he always uses the same actresses, and you can tell like they are real, you know. But also he came from a theater background, so his writing is exceptional. There are another film that I really like it that is about sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so a drama. Like in another film, like one of the sister has cancer and she's dying, and then she invited to the house like her two sisters because she know to take care of her because she's gonna die, like she has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But the sister can't take care of her because they have their own problems going on in their lives, you know, and they are incapable like to take care of her. So in this house, like he put all the production design, everything in red. Like all the living room is in red. The sheets of the bed, like everything is in red. And then when he goes to from one scene to another scene, like he does like the fade out in red as well instead of black. And like he was talking about why he chose red. And he say that for him, like the soul, the color of the soul for him is red.
Oh.
So like the conflicts and the problems the sisters need to deal with, they are so deep into their souls that for him, like the red and everything in red was a good choice to portray it like part of the conflict that they are dealing with. Anyway,
well, what color do you think your soul is?
I don't know, but actually, like I see.
Have you thought about it before?
No, but I see like what he say. Like he see films in colors, no, mm-hmm. because he's telling about souls and about the souls is red. But I see films in colors as well. When I'm gonna direct, when I write my films, like I finish and I say, oh, this film is red and blue. This film is yellow. This film is green.
And how do you feel that? What do you see? Like what hits you?
I think is linked with, it's all, of course, it's linked with the story that you want to tell. For example, like I'm going to be directing another short film like in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. I didn't write the script, like another writer wrote the script, but it's about like a woman that is married with a man that abuse her kind mm-hmm. of, and she was pregnant, but she was forced to do an abortion, and she keeps the fetus in a wardrobe. And in the end, she ends up like killing him. It's kind of a dark story.
Yeah, it sounds dark.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't write the story Joel, because Joel is gonna be the producer. Mm-hmm. Joel and I, we went to a Palm Spring festival with another friend that she was having a short film in the festival. And we meet this guy, he's a teacher, and he really wanted to make films, and he wrote the script. Joel loved the script because Joel is my friend, and
yes.
Joel is my friend, and I work with him, he's producer, so we made films together.
Okay.
So Joel wrote the script, and he said, "Oh my God, I love it, because it's dark, it's kind of genre film, like a kind of weird, you know." And he wanted to do something different. So finally, I came on board, like, as a director. For example, I see this film in green, because everything takes place in a house, and I see, like, that the house is kind of a space that is trapping her, that she's trapped in her house, you know. So I see, like, when I read the script, I can imagine that the house has humidity, is
jarring. Okay.
You know, so I see, like, kind of
damp.
Exactly. I see kind of an old house that will be green.
Yes.
Sun red, like, because there are blood involved, and there are things involved that is with red. For me, red is passion, is feeling, is, yeah, it's kind of the contrast with the green from, okay, like, that gonna give you the aspect of horror, kind of, you know.
Yeah,
it's not an horror film, but it's kind of
thriller,
yeah. But with a weird, the point is that have a weird element, because she's keeping a fetus, like the fetus he was like forced to do abortion, but he keep the fetus in a jar.
In a jar.
That's different.
Okay. Damn.
That's crazy.
It is.
Wow. That's some psychological stuff going on. But, like, probably as a woman, you have that.
Yeah, but, like you know,
that's, like, the piece of you.
I really like to tell stories. For me, we live in a social, like, in a patriarchy, you know, socially, like, ruled by men, with you know, and women, we really need to always adapt to what they say. Like when we are having sex finish when they are having an orgasm. They don't fucking take care of, they don't even ask, like, "Oh, did you have your orgasm? Like, are you okay?"
It's so true.
So this is a reflection.
Wrong man. So maybe it's the wrong man.
If you are in a relationship for a long time, of course, like, your partner gonna take care of your orgasms. But, like, you are just, like, having sex with people that you want to know, or, like, you know, these dates, because nowadays it's also very difficult to have a relationship.
Well, with that, like, I feel like it's like when the woman is ready is
right,
like, so it's not always the man's fault, it's when you're ready mentally, and some people develop at different times.
I don't know, but this is another story. For me, it's very difficult. It has been so difficult to be in a relationship. And not for me. I think I am ready for having a relationship, but I think it's just like work. Like, if you are, like, I travel, like, I am in film, so it's not like, it's not like a 9-to-5 job, you know. So this is kind of difficult to have a relationship, or a man that gonna accept that you have your career and you invest a lot of time in your career, and you travel. You are one day. I travel a lot, like, normally to Spain, but to other countries as well.
Yeah, well, you've been to over 30 countries, right? Yeah. Do you find it COVID, was easier because of being in the European Union to go places, or where?
No, I have, like, I started to travel when I was, I started to travel, like, when I was like 20 years old, because I really wanted, like, one thing I really wanted to do in my life is to study and then to travel, to see the world. So I travel a lot also for my documentaries. Like, I travel in holidays, you know, like I'm going to one country I like, and I will stay like for 3 weeks, for 1 month, but then I get to travel a lot also for just filming, like making documentaries.
What kind of documentaries?
Right. I used to do like, I say I used to do because it's like now I am transitioning to fiction films. This is why I went to Columbia University, like to study screenwriting, because I wanted like to do more personal stories, like to make films about more personal stuff. But my documentaries are about, I do observational documentaries. So it's not like I do interviews, you know. I normally follow a character. I tell the story through images and dialogue. For example, my first documentary was about a girl that is 7 years old, and she is from Sahara Desert. She lives in a refugee camp in the south of Algeria.
Okay.
So she travels to Spain for summer, to spend the summer with a host family in Spain, because there are a program that we have with Sahrawi people, because they used to be a Spanish colony. Mm-hmm. And they live in the desert, so they bring kids on summer to Spain. So they give them like, they take them to the doctor, the family give them money. And because in the desert is so hot in summer, so the kids spend time like going to the swimming pool, like, you know, like just giving them like kind of a normal life, because they live in a refugee camp. So the story was about this girl is 7 years old. She went to Spain for the summer. It's the first time she is abroad, is 7 years old, and it's the first time she's separating from her mom. So from this refuge camp in the desert, she going to Spain to spend the summer, and then when the summer ends, she needs to come back. This was the story about, and it was about the relationship that she has with the daughter of the host family, that she is like 10 years old. So they couldn't speak in the beginning because she speaks Arabic and the Spanish girl speaks Spanish. Okay. So everything in the film is very visual, you know? Okay. Like, because they can't have a dialogue.
Because of the language barrier? Is it because of the language barrier?
Yeah, because she speaks Arabic and the Spanish girl speaks Spanish. So they couldn't speak. But it was very like interesting, like to film her like going to the swimming pool, because they don't have swimming pool in the refugee camp. Like going, I don't know, like everything for her was like new, like exciting, because they don't have water, they don't have electricity in the refugee camp, they don't have ice cream, you know. So I
feel like seeing a new world.
It was a culture shock.
I film,
so it's a culture shock to her.
I film all these feelings that she, and all these new experiences. But for her, like she didn't care about all these things, you know, because she's 7 years old. So she, right. What she really wanted is to go back with her family. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, this
is the message of the film, that doesn't matter like money, doesn't matter like, you know, what we can offer for her, because in the end, she was missing so much her family and her mom, you know, that she didn't care about, yeah, about being in a swimming pool or having ice cream or like having a lot of food on her plate, because she was poor, of course, and she didn't care.
So it was just about family. It was just, it didn't matter. It was just her just loving her family. And even though she was introduced to a different culture, she missed her family. So that's what it was just about. But I think that you captivating her experience going through, especially a seven-year-old, because a seven-year-old does not have any fear factor. So
yeah,
I think that is very important for us as filmmakers, for you to captivate that and to get it out and just show the emotions, show her missing her family, showing her elated to a new world, to a new culture. I just think that is just big. I would love to see that. So it's just something. Yeah, that's phenomenal. Awesome.
Yes. This was my first documentary, like professional documentary.
Okay.
Is this the one? No, what was the one at the Vegan Fashion Week when I met you?
Right. No, this was the one in the Vegan Fashion was like kind of a music video fashion film that I made for Life Water, for the brand of water.
Is that the water that you
had
a campaign with?
Yeah, so they selected like 20 artists, like five filmmakers, five musicians, five fashion designers, visual artists. So I made a film. I made a film for them, and then inspired in the film, they did a water bottle with the label. So the design of the label is inspired in the film. But they gave me freedom to do whatever I wanted. So this was cool, because it's just you get money to do a film.
And that's the hardest part.
So how would you advise? I know that we're going through the rapid fire questions and we're going forward, but you know, you have aspiring filmmakers, and it's always about the budget, always about finding money for films and finding content. What is your advice? Because I know you read a lot, you got a lot of information, but for leading ladies, I mean, you're actually a leading lady. How do you, I'm word searching right now. How do you tell someone that needs insight for finding films, knowing how to get into film festival? What is your advice for that?
My advice actually is to start with documentaries. I realized like I learned so much making documentaries, and you can make a documentary. You don't need a lot of money to make a documentary. You
actually like expensive. I thought that a documentary was more expensive because of the life of the project, you know, the research, traveling and stuff.
It can be more expensive, but in the end, I make documentaries myself. This means I went with a camera. So I filmed the documentary.
Okay.
I edit the documentary. So you can make a documentary by yourself.
Okay.
If you have a camera, like nowadays, you can get a good camera like very cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like that you need like
and you can use the iPhone now too. Just buy a couple different lenses for artistry and do something different.
Enough with the iPhones. Sick of it.
You can use an iPhone, and you can use like a camera that costs $2,000 or $3,000, and it's gonna give you like a lot of quality.
Okay.
You just need to be patient.
Okay.
With some sometimes like we live, we are not patient enough sometimes.
Because we want it now. Microwave, exactly. Want it now. Okay. So with the documentary, you're saying that it can be cheaper because you can do a lot of things yourself, but then in the end, it may wind up being expensive because of travel, lodging, but as you invest in money into your film.
Yeah. So and also like you need a good character.
Okay.
And a good story that it's going to give you. Documentaries are about characters.
Okay.
It's about character, the story, like then the story like can be very simple. It doesn't need to be like something incredible, special, because you are capturing life. You are in the end, you are capturing life. Like you are capturing feelings. You are capturing like, you know, it's, you can capture like the life of a family, and nothing special about this family. Maybe it's that the main character is so charming and people gonna get to love this character.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the audience need to feel in love with your character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For this reason, it's very important, like who you choose to be the main character. The audience need in the minute one or two, feel in love with this character. And they're gonna invest time following what happened with this character.
What happened with the life of the character. So from there, so you're doing the documentaries and then it's finished, edited, you did everything. And then it's like, what do I do with it? The distribution.
You send, you send to festivals. But this is the hard part because festivals, to get selected to festivals, is really hard nowadays. Yes. How festival works is like the programmer of the festival have a lot of power. Right. There are a few programmers. These programmers get submissions, but also like emails, people they know, they tell, oh, look at this film made by blah, blah, blah. Let's see if you can include in the festival this year. Like big festivals, I don't think they have time to watch all the submissions.
Right.
Yeah.
So
what I'm about sorry, but like what they do is normally they know people, send them films, and in the end, this is what they program. So it's very hard to get into festivals, big festivals. A small festival is not that hard, but like big festivals that it's going to take.
Like the Sundance. It's hard.
It's incredible hard as an independent filmmaker. So this is a problem because then.
How do you fix that?
Yeah.
Now you can fix that. I don't have a solution for that. I am still figuring out like how do you get to the next step. It's like, or you know,
keep
the programmer
or someone
or a person that you know knows the programmer that recommend you, otherwise you don't want to get into the festival. Impossible.
Now how long would you recommend doing a because I know filmmakers, it's like, okay, I want to get distribution, but I want to put it out there, I want to get feedback. How long would you do a festival run for? A year, year and a half before you say, you know what? I'm going to do something else with it. Or
it's cold now. No, yeah. Like you've exhausted it.
Yeah. For the film run. How long would you go with trying to put it in different film festivals?
For me, it will take like 1 year and a half.
Okay. And then what would you do then? You would figure out, or would you go into the next project and shelf that one? What would you do as far as with that?
No, for example, with the documentaries, some of them got into television.
Okay.
But it's because I got a distribution company. This is another thing. Like it's very hard as an independent filmmaker, like to sell your film into a television. Normally there are a distribution company involved that they sell several documentaries to television. And one of them can be yours. It's possible, like it's possible if you have the connections that as an independent filmmaker you can sell your project to television or to a network.
But it's the same thing. It's who you know.
So it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. But normally, bueno, in the old system, you will have a distribution company, and then the distribution company have deals with several networks or television, and they sell a package, probably, or, you know, but if the documentary or if the film has been very, but I am talking about the documentaries because I only did short films and documentaries. I never did like a feature film. I am developing my feature film right now.
Okay. Is that based on the one that you're in production, pre-production on?
No, I have another film that is now I am distributing that is about a jazz singer in New York. The short film is kind of a proof of concept of the future film. So the short is just 10 minutes, and it's about a jazz singer and that she's going through a breakup with her boyfriend, and she performs in Harlem in a jazz club that is called Paris Blues. So the last night that she's performing at Paris Blues, her ex-boyfriend comes because she's a little alcoholic. So her boyfriend comes and asks her to go back together and start a new life. If she changed like her lifestyle and she stopped like kind of singing. So she needs to decide if she gonna come back with him or she gonna continue singing. Mm. It's kind of the life of artists, you know? And again, is patriarchy like involved, like how she's affected by the men again telling her what to do or having an opinion about her career and the sacrifices that she as an artist needs to do. But in the end, she decided like to continue singing anyway. But this is a proof of concept. Like I filmed this before COVID, but Paris Blues, I don't know if you have been in New York, in Harlem, but Paris Blues is like a jazz club that is so iconic. They open like in the decoration and everything is from the 70s. It was like a spot for locals, but also for tourists. It was an amazing club, but they closed because the owner, he Samuel Jr. is Agres, is his name. He died for COVID. He was like more than 70 years old. He died for COVID and the club closed last year. Or 2 years ago, but like he was a musician. He won a few Grammys, so he was very well known in New York and in Harlem.
Films like that do well. But anything like that, I'm interested in stuff like that. Anything with blues, Harlem. Always get recognition. People always buy into that, so you can never go wrong with doing blues, Harlem, especially when you go back to that era. You know, that stuff is just, that's a good concept, and people always buy into that, so you can never go wrong when you see
I wanted to film there because I used to go to this club like almost every month. I used to go, but just by myself, like not, it's not like I was like going with friends, you know, sometimes
partying.
I used to go by myself because I knew the waitress, like they were having like live music all the time, like 4 days per week. So for me, it was kind of a family, you know, like, because I know that I'm gonna go there and meet new people, and I know some people. So yeah, it was like I lived in Harlem for 5 years. Harlem was my neighborhood, and I had the opportunity to move to Brooklyn, to move to other neighborhood, but I didn't want to.
Have you been to New Orleans?
No.
With the jazz there?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you should go. Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
But like people, like this is the different. I thought, no, when I was living in Harlem, that the people is real. You know, you go on the street, everything is full of music, you know, or you are listening to jazz, then one part of Harlem is very Latin, is full of Latino people. So always the streets like was full of life, music. Like if it's not reggaeton, it's rap, hip hop, jazz, you know. So it was like a neighborhood full of people, life, freedom, you know. I don't know.
Do you know what reggaeton is, Renee?
I can't remember, but my computer is freezing. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. Wait a minute.
Well, you're not freezing to us.
Okay. So sorry. I do. And again, it's Spectrum, putting Spectrum out there.
Froze, Spectrum, so. Can we get Renee some quality Wi-Fi?
And then I'll probably say, oh, it's at your Spectrum. But what's the question? I'm sorry. You asked me that I know what? I'm sorry.
Oh, reggaeton.
No, reggaeton. No, say something and it might spark. What is it? What is it?
Go, Fanny.
The music.
Huh?
The kind of music, reggaeton.
Okay. Is it the one where I'm thinking of that the cello and the guy sitting there, you know, dancing and, you know, and he sweating and everything, and somebody's doing this and, or maybe hitting on pots and pans and just whatever it is. Is that?
No.
That's what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of it. What?
Do you know reggaeton?
Ooh, you know. I'm just saying, and then and it may be off of pots and pans. I don't know. And it just has that sound. I'm just saying. I don't know. What is it? Enlighten me.
Reggaeton is very popular. Like all Latin people listen to reggaeton. Everyone listen to reggaeton.
Oh. Yeah, it's very popular.
Like Becky G, like Bad Bunny, Maluma. Okay. Maluma is having a.
What's another name for it? Because I feel like that. I feel like. That's what I'm thinking. So maybe I just show. I don't know. So.
Which kind of music do you listen to?
You know what? To be honest with you, within the last 3 years, I got into jazz. Jazz is therapeutic for me. Like I love Brian Cobblestone, Brian Simpson, Boney James. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get into like Mao Jones, you know what I'm saying? So I am starting to get into that because from Baltimore, I was into R&B, the Mary J. Blige's and things like that. But I'm starting since being in California 6 years this month, my selection of music is starting to open. Like I said, the jazz. So I am just starting to learn about different music that I'm starting to like. Like I said, jazz is therapeutic for me. When I'm straightening up, doing things around the house, I'll listen to jazz. At work, I listen to it. My colleagues be like, oh my God, it can be so melancholy, but it's relaxed. It keeps me from just going off.
But yeah, I study jazz at Columbia, singing.
Okay.
So the film, I composed the songs, most of the songs of the film, like which is flamenco, is jazz mixed with flamenco, because I get to know in New York, like jazz musicians, because they were studying at Columbia as well.
Okay.
So this is how, because I am a singer also, so my first album is mixing jazz with flamenco and pop and other things. Okay. But the film came together with the album, you know. I made this short film, and then I developed the feature film. And the feature film is about the same character, this jazz singer that lives in Harlem. And she needs to travel back to Spain because her grandmother is dying. The grandmother used to be a flamenco singer.
Okay.
So when she dies, she has like a piece of land with a flamenco bar. And Triana, which is the main character, she's the only one that received the heritage, this possession of the family. Mm-hmm. So she needs to decide if she's gonna sell it because she wants to record an album and go back to New York, or if she's gonna stay in her village in Spain. But in the end, like, the story is about the relationship that she has with her mother and a realization of appreciate her roots, you know, because she
ends up. Is this up about, like, you?
Yeah.
Is this like your story?
Is based in the relationship I have with my mother. Yes, this is real. All of this is real. But no, my grandmother is not a flamenco singer.
Okay.
I didn't get to know my grandmother. My grandmother died when I was a child. So I grew up like with the image and the stories of my grandmother. Like my grandmother died because she was a cleaner in the hospital, and she had 10 kids. 10. Mm. Wow. She used to sell blood. She used to sell blood to get money to feed the kids. Mm.
Blood. Her own blood.
Yeah.
So she used to give blood.
Yeah.
Own blood to sell. Yeah.
So she got, in one of these, she got hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C. Okay.
And she died very young, like when she was 52 years old or something like that.
Wow.
Donating
blood, the needles, because things were different
to provide for her family.
To provide for her family.
And like my grandmother got like very sick in the hospital, but she didn't, like, because she had the 10 kids and she needed to work and everything. Like in the first time when she was sick, she didn't like take attention, you know, she didn't want to like to be in the hospital or anything because she wanted to keep working. So it was so late, like it was so late when she realized, and then she died. She was in the hospital like for less than 1 week and she died.
So my family.
My aunties and my mother at this time, but this is something like my mother never speak about that. She will never like tell me the story, but like I get pieces from my aunties. So I think I got to build my own story. It's like my grandmother is like a legend, you know. It's like,
yeah.
So I never, like, they never speak. Like it was like a very hard situation because my mother was 15 years old. And then she has her brother and sisters. It was about five of them. So she became the mom. She with 15 years old, like she got the role of kind of a mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was the oldest.
Yeah, but she never speak about that. But for
those
her,
those were the times. Yeah, that's how it was back then. You know, certain things you didn't talk about, you know, it was taboo. So,
but for her, it was a traumatic situation.
Yeah.
Because my grandfather, he was, he used to work repairing shoes.
Work shoe repair?
Yes. And
what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
nothing.
No, it's not a very specific job.
Yeah.
That's why I am laughing. It's a very specific job. But my grandfather, like, he used to drink.
Okay.
And he used to, like, spend his money, like, going to bars. And my grandfather used to have a life of a person that is kind of rich, you know?
Okay.
Because he used to get his money, buy his newspaper, going to drink with the guys that work in the council and this, and, you know, and this is what they told me, you know? My grandmother used to, like, ask him for money, like I need money to feed the kids, you know.
Yeah,
it's not enough. Sure. It's not enough what I am earning. But again, like, I see my grandmother, like, as an hero, you know.
Right.
But she had 10 kids, 10.
Yeah,
and then that's a lot.
She was working.
Like, a lot of mouths to feed. A lot of mouths.
She was working in the hospital as a cleaner. And she was like for me, the image that I have is like, she create this matriarchy in my family, because most of my aunties are women, no? Are strong women, no? So my aunties, like, are kind of the same, like my grandmother, like they work, they have like 5 kids, 6 kids. So is, and they rule the house, you know, it's kind of a matriarchy where the women is strong. They say what to do, and the family is ruled by women.
Okay. So are you looking to have as many children?
No.
I can see you with 10 kids, Fanny. Traveling around the world with your kids. Having a son hold the camera for you.
I first need a boyfriend.
So but you do want a family.
But with 10 kids, you need a husband, not a boyfriend.
Well, a husband, yeah.
A partner.
Yeah, I first need a husband. I will be happy to have kids, but I first need a husband, a responsible husband.
Well, yes. let me tell you, I got 2, and I felt like I had 10 kids. Like, people be like, how many kids do you have? I'm like, 2. I'm like, a boy and a girl. They don't make anything else. That's all I wanted. So I felt, and like my daughter, that's like 4 kids within itself. So when you have a daughter, that's like 4.
Uh-oh.
So whatever. So I tell Bria. Bria's like 4 children. So that's 4 and Corey. So pretty much I have 5 kids. That's what it feels like. So I'm just saying, your mother had how many, your grandmother had how many daughters?
Oof. 7 daughters.
So, and so that's 7 times 4. So she had more kids than 10 with the girls. So 2 kids with me, that's a lot of damn kids. Yeah. But
you know why? Because nowadays, it's other times. Like, kids need so many things. Mm-hmm. Like the iPad, like when they get to be teenagers, I want to do my nails, I want to do my makeup, my hair. Like,
but those are first world problems. Like, we don't need that stuff.
when I was a teenager, like, of course, like, I couldn't say to my mom, oh, I'm going to the hair salon or I'm going to do my nails. My mom will be like, fuck off. Like, we don't have
Exactly.
And now it's like the parents need to have a lot of money because the kids need everything. The kids are so demanding.
And they're spoiled. Like my grandson, my grandson is 7. And I remember I said, oh, go and get him because he likes hot chocolate. I said, go get him a box of Swiss Miss. What is it? 10 in a pack. And Brianna's like, no, Jacob wants Starbucks hot chocolate. So the routine is before he goes to school, he can't make it in his little thermos. He has to go to Starbucks and get his hot chocolate. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What's wrong with the box of Swiss Miss with the marshmallow? She's like, nope, Jacob only wants Starbucks. I'm like, really? 7 years old, you have a preference of Starbucks?
Oh my goodness. When I was back in Miami for the holidays, I had to go take my nieces to dance class and we went to Starbucks because we didn't have enough time to have breakfast. I spent like $50 at Starbucks. They like went all out, hold this, extra that. And then they got a bottle of water too. I'm like, you're going to get home and have water. You want a bottle of water too? You just got a fresh breezer or whatever they're called.
Yeah, right.
And water?
$7. Right. That's like $7. But it's
for the Starbucks water.
Yeah. It's like,
I don't go to Starbucks first.
But don't take your kids there. Don't even introduce it.
I don't go to Starbucks. My money is not going to Starbucks. I don't want to support this business. I'm sorry, but I don't want to support this business.
I got my tea right here.
This is Starbucks in a cup. This is Starbucks.
I prefer to give the money to a small businesses, like a small cafe, you know?
Exactly.
And not give it to a Starbucks because also like they put so much sugar. I don't know what they put in the drinks, what they include in the drinks that it makes you addicted.
Right. Well, in LA, it's easy just to go to a little cafe and find a good one. And most of the rest of the country, I don't know what it is. Like in other parts of the world, you do have other little cafes, not these big chains like Starbucks. And like East Coast, it's Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard to find a Dunkin' out here.
Do they have Dunkin' Donuts out here?
Oh. See? Yeah, there's like 5.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's barely any.
A Dunkin' Donuts.
No,
I haven't really. Yeah, but I like because I never know. I may want Starbucks to finance one of my films, so I'm not listening to Danny DeLucia or Antoinette. So I like Starbucks.
Fanny De La Chica.
So yeah, Mr. Starbucks.
I gotta ask: is that Starbucks. Your real name? Is Fanny De La Chica your real name?
So my real name is Estefania. Fanny is like a nickname, but nobody called me like, even my mom refers to me, like she called me Fanny.
It's sexy.
Started to call me Fanny since I was a child. I didn't like it. I hate it so much because my name is Estefania. But I just get used to people call me Fanny. Then my mom sometimes when she speak about me with other people that she doesn't know that well, she refers to me as Estefania. But she called me Fanny. My father called me Fanny. Everyone's called me Fanny. And De La Chica is my surname and it's very unusual surname.
Sexy.
In Spain, there are only 2,000 people with this surname.
I could imagine your boyfriend saying, bring a Fanny over here, Fanny. De La Chica. Come here, Fanny. Bring it, Fanny, over here.
Fanny, find me a boyfriend.
Be like, Fanny, bring it over here. Fanny, come here. Come here, Fanny.
Well, I'm pretty sure in England, Fanny means the.
So when I when I was in England,
vagina, pussycat.
Yeah, I live in London. No, I live in London 6 years. So when I say, "Oh, my name is Fanny," people was laughing. "Oh, your name is Fanny." I say. So then, what I did is people. Because Fanny used to be an old-fashioned name in the 60s in England, but nobody has this name anymore. Just grandmothers have this name, old people.
Right, right.
So the young generation is like, oh, your name is Fanny. So I stopped it, like saying that my name is Fanny. So when I was working as a director in an agency, and I used to do like, I used to have a team, like I manage a team and I used to do commercials and brand content and everything. So the first time we decide with my boss, like, okay, people gonna call me Estefania. This is nobody gonna call me Fanny. And people need to call me like for my real name, Estefania.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then some people, like close people, they started to call me Chica for like my surname.
Yeah.
Come here, so Chica. Then,
like some people, Paige. Like some of my friends, like instead of calling me Fanny, they were calling me Chica. So a lot of people like English speak, like if they speak English, they call me, not here in the US, but when I used to live in London, like a lot of people used to call me Chica or Cheeks. Yeah.
Fanny Cheeks.
Fanny with the cheeks. What do you want to go see? Like, I'm guaranteed. Oh, see Fanny with the
they're so randy.
It was like, what an evolution. From Estefania, people is calling me Cheeks.
Cheeks. I'm gonna go see Cheeks. Old Fanny Cheeks over there. I'm gonna go see my Fanny Cheeks. I'm the boyfriend of Fanny Cheeks.
Oh my
Cheeks.
Gosh. You must have gotten so many different things and it's still going. See, your name is fabulous.
It's sexy. It's sexy. Fanny de la Chica. It's sexy.
Hell yeah. I love the way Joel says it too.
Oh yeah. It just it rolls. I love it. Sexy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We totally got way off of this rapid fire question. So I'm just going to.
Oh, she rapidly fired stuff on. So she.
I know. She just started going.
Yeah. So she rapidly fired. So.
Well, it's because there's so much like with the Spain directors and stuff and the writers, like I don't know those. So I needed to dive in a little bit.
But it's educational. Okay. It's formative. I enjoyed it. It opened up my eyes because I didn't know. So I just, I think you should learn something new every day. Because if you're not, you're not learning. You're not being a part of your world. So thank you, Fanny. De la Chica. Cheeks.
All right. What's your number one advice for self-care?
For self-care?
Orgasm.
Orgasm first. Then I take care a lot of my skin. I like to use oils. Like I think people should invest in products for the skin.
What products? What would you?
Natural products. Like it's not expensive things like
moisturizer or the serums.
No, I normally use oils. I love to use oils. I used to have like a lot of spots, so I got to the point like I needed to do my own research, because dermatologist, I used to go to the doctor and they like, yeah, take these, blah blah, and still I used to have spots. But like I started to research, to try different things. I never use the same moisturizer, never, never. It's like to is like the same that to use the same deodorant, they're gonna stop working. Like you need to change moisturizer, like, because if not, the skin get used to the same moisturizer and doesn't work. So what I do is I mix my own, I buy the oils and I mix them, like argan oil, olive oil,
avocado like, oil.
Avocado is more for hair.
Okay.
Avocado is more for hair.
What about tea tree?
Tea tree is essential. Tea tree is like
a must.
Rose hip.
Mm-hmm.
And other ones. It's like almond oil as well.
Okay.
But there are a lot of them, but depending which kind, but you put this at night, the oils, and you wake up, boof, the skin is glowing. And doesn't have like any chemicals. It's something that you can do. If you buy different oils, you can mix them and you can do it at your house. And this is gonna last for a long time.
What does your pillow look like?
Yeah, that's okay. Because
you change also. You change also like the pillow seat, case. Like almost a week. Yeah, but no, like the good thing is that you put the oil and you let the oil to absorb and it sustains your face. The skin take all the oil. It's not like and you put very little oil. It's not like your
face. You're not shiny. It's not greasy.
You are not shiny.
Dripping down.
Actually, I put oil before the interview.
Oh. I mean, you are glowing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you use scented oil? Do you like scented oil? Do you like scented oil?
What is scented?
Scented. You know how sometimes you go in New York and they have the bottles of the scented oil that you can put on a dish and it has a nice scent, or you can put it on you, because some people don't wear perfume or cologne, they like scented oil. Do you like that?
I love these oils as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I love oils. I love,
I've never heard
I
of that.
I like to put like oils like all over. Like
after a massage, because they oil you up, that like feels amazing. It's just in
right
your
there.
Skin.
But this
that
is because
right
my skin, I mean, my skin is soft, but like I need to, like I need to take care with sun and everything, because like you can get cancer, like skin cancer, very easily. If you don't take care of the skin, and I have like a lot of.
It looks soft. You look soft from here, Fanny.
Are you flirting with Fanny de la Chica?
No, not with Fanny de la Chica. Fanny wants 10 kids. Look, Fanny wants 10. She wants 10 kids. No.
Find me a boyfriend or a husband so I can have at least one kid. I only want one kid.
Okay, cool.
One kid, that's it.
Smart woman.
Yes. What was your best investment you've made under $100 in 2021?
Ooh, under $100.
$100 or less. It could be $5, a sponge.
I don't know. I was thinking about clothes, because I normally get, I try not to buy clothes, but then I end up buying.
What's your favorite place to shop?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Urban Outfitters. I love.
Where's that? Online?
Urban Outfitters? No.
Urban Outfitters. They have nice stuff. Urban Outfitters. Yeah.
I love, but like one trick about Urban Outfitters is I always go to buy things on sale. Never ever I buy things that are not on sale, and they have amazing sales sometimes on when you go to the shop.
Okay.
The other day I bought like a pants from $60. I paid $5.
Oh, nice. I love getting that deal.
Yeah.
Have you been to It's a Wrap here in LA?
No.
Oh my goodness. We're going shopping.
But I also like, I love vintage clothes. So I go into I buy a lot of secondhand clothes because I love vintage things.
We're going to It's a Wrap. It's in Burbank. We're going. You're gonna be amazed. If you could have coffee, oh, we did that one. If you were to switch careers, what would you try?
My second profession is singer. So I am very happy, like, this is kind of a switching, like, kind of. And I released an album in 2020. And I am working in my next album. So for me, this is, like, not switching career, but, like, I would like to keep these two careers.
Pursuing that.
You know? Film, because I think music has a lot of, it's very important for me also in films. You know, so for me, it's like, it's kind of going together, you know. I make an album, I make a film, kind of the music from the album, I use it in my films as well, so.
Okay, well, can we hear a little bit of a song?
Yes.
But you can, if you're going on YouTube.
No, right now.
No, right now, you're a singer, you can hit it.
Bueno. So do I need to
sing? ¿Qué pasa, chica?
Okay, I'm gonna sing flamenco.
Good.
Venga, I'm gonna sing flamenco. But this is very early in the morning. My voice is just a little bit, no? Okay.
Yeah, I want.
Yeah.
Need a beat?
Yeah, I'm gonna start. Que me quieres tanto y cuánto, que me quieres tanto y cuánto.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Anda, ve y dile a tu madre que me quieres tanto y cuánto. Yo te busco y no te encuentro, no me des tu más quebranto. Yo te busco y no te encuentro, no me des tu más quebranto. Ya está.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm ready to go dancing.
It puts me in mind of Selena.
Selena?
Yes. That's what it put me on. I wanted to. wanted to do.
Yeah, like this.
The flamenco, yeah.
Yes. Because I with COVID, I spent 1 year in Spain. I went to study flamenco.
Okay.
Like for a few months, because flamenco is so difficult. Like, it's a nightmare to study like traditional. It's a traditional music, so it's like.
It was difficult.
Very difficult. Difficult. Because it's like the scales that you do with the voice are very specific. Okay. So you need to get trained on that. I used to wake up like at 6-7 in the morning, like rehearse for 2 hours, then go to class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was like until 2 p.m. I was like singing. Like every day I spend like almost 3 hours singing. And I like to sing, but this was too much. It was too much. I say like
beautiful
wow.
Voice. Beautiful voice. Mm-hmm.
I'm only allowed to sing in the shower.
I ain't allowed to sing that. I have neighbors.
No one needs to hear me sing. What's the first thing you do every morning?
I wake up and I drink hot water with turmeric.
Oh,
that's something
not new. Ginger. Do you put ginger in there too?
No, sometimes, but no, it's turmeric.
Turmeric, right? Mm. It helps with inflammation. And mm-hmm. what's the benefit for you besides inflammation? Does it give you energy?
As well, yeah.
Okay.
But I drink the turmeric with hot water and a little bit of milk. And then I drink a coffee.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's your mojo.
Yeah, that's your mojo. I actually wanted to stop drinking coffee.
But I yeah, that seems to be a challenge for most people.
Yeah. But actually I think I can do it, but I don't want to do it.
Okay.
Because it's better like to drink green tea or like, mm-hmm. you know, it's more beneficial for your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What's your favorite podcast?
This podcast.
Ah! Yes.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Seriously. She's serious.
Oh,
yes. That's it. She's serious.
Well, okay. So I do want to wrap up. We've gone way over an hour, but so I got to ask, like, what would you give advice to the next generation or a young filmmaker or a singer? What would you tell them that you learned and you wish you could have known a little sooner?
I learned that maybe I should like dedicate my life to doing something else, not to be in some music.
No, I think that money,
you know, because it's so hard to do, like, to do your projects, like to get funding for your projects, like and in the end, like, it's not like if you work doing brand content commercials, like you work for others and then it's their idea or you work with a client. But to do your own things, like you write a script, you have a passion project and you need to get funding, and it's very hard. You don't get paid for this. I believe in myself. This is a good
thing.
This is a good thing I have. The best advice is whatever you are doing, don't wait that people believe in you. You need to believe in yourself, in what you are doing, and mm-hmm. and be positive and and be like sure about what do you want to achieve. Otherwise, you're gonna get lost.
Yeah.
But not just in film or in music, in every industry.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I was doing my backup plan for way too long instead of doing what I wanted to do. And I was, you know, I was at these different law firms and it was just, the last three that I worked at, I was like, I got to get out. I'm not going back. I can't do this anymore. And I even said to one of the attorneys, took me to his next firm. And I'm like, this is the last time, I'm not going. I said, I wouldn't go to any more. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? What's next? And it's like, why the, like, to do something, it's like, why am I going to go try and be a part of someone else's product or, you know, like pharmaceutical sales or, you know, something? It's like where I can sell me. I know I can sell me. Like, why, if I don't believe in this mug because it leaks when I pour hot water in here and there's water that comes out, why am I going to try and sell you a shitty product? You know, like, yeah. I know what I can do and I'm the best one to sell me.
Yeah. You have to believe in yourself, you know, and have to have the resilience and the tenacity to keep going. Even if you fail, you keep going. You know, what did Oprah say? It's not failure. It's just life showing you a different direction. So it's okay to fail forward. And the motto is, if you can look up, you can get up. So it's okay. And I think people are so afraid of failing that it kind of stops them. It's okay to fail because it helps you. Because
it's part of the process. It's part of the process.
It's part of the process.
You need to fail to learn. Yeah, if you don't fail, you're not going to learn.
You're not going to learn.
And it's not about like someone told me that you don't need to do this or you don't need to do that. That's until you don't do it and you failure, you don't gonna learn. You can't read these things in a book and then apply to your career. But like
until I write my book and I need to sell it.
Right.
But the best advice is just be clear what like. I also think sometimes we have, with this thing with COVID, I started to think that we give for granted that we're gonna live until we are 70 years old.
Right.
And this is not true. You can die any moment. You can die any moment.
Yeah.
And people just assume that they're gonna live like until they get old and.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe it's not the case. Maybe you die and you are 50. Maybe you die and you are 40. Something happened to you. Like you never know. So you need to. I try to think like what I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about money. It's not. It's about personal satisfaction. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I am trying to do what I really want to do. You know, I want to make music. Okay. I need money to make music. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's try to get the money and make an album. That the album gonna give me money back? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. But I like it. I like it. It gives me other things. It gives me like personal satisfaction. Like it gives me fun. I get to try new things, you know. So in the end, you need to put in a balance, like things that make you happy, and mentally stable, because you know, this is more important than to have a lot of money or to have the perfect house or, you know, that all these things, like I put them in my balance. First is me trying to be happy, like mentally stable, like not being depressed and you know, like put my emotions and out there to heal myself. This is first. And then other things, for me is not that important.
But let me ask you a question. So I noticed that you spoke about COVID a lot, but would you agree that COVID, with the things that we're doing, kind of leveled the playing field, where kind of even things out? Like this time, people can be more creative. COVID kind of leveled the playing field, where if you want to be a millionaire now, because it's more information, it's more technology, so you can compete more with the millionaires. Would you say that COVID kind of leveled the playing field for everyone to get what they need?
I think so. I think that we spend so much time in lockdown,
right,
that people change their minds a little bit.
Okay.
You know, the
mindset.
About what I think about someone else.
I think that we did a good job, like reflecting like how we live, you know?
Yeah.
Like some people now, they don't want to work. They don't want to spend like all their time, like committing to a office and do a full-time
for crap money.
And it's good that people started to think like life is something else. It's not just going to an office and work. And look, nothing wrong with going to an office. Some people like it, but you know, like people started to value more to spend time with their families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or to live in the countryside, to be more in contact with nature. Things that before we didn't have the time to think about.
Yeah.
And this is what
they needed. Like, we need our quality of life.
Yeah, quality quality. We don't like we the companies try to sell us like all the time things, like going to a Starbucks. Like mm-hmm. you need this the last watch from Apple. You need the last iPhone.
I want to hear iPhone. You don't need iPhone.
and for me, it's like, no, sorry, I don't want to change my iPhone. I have an iPhone 7. I don't need the 13. Why am I going to need the 13 if my iPhone 7 is working? Why I need to spend like $600? I prefer to make a song with this money. You know?
Mm-hmm. So you can get the extra cameras.
I know.
And we can make a film with this one. Yeah,
but
instead of the $2,000 camera.
But I prefer to have a camera that to film with an iPhone.
Good. I have Filmic Pro app on here, and I can do rack focus, and I can, you know, blur it out. Oh, with this.
Mm-hmm. This is useful if you are making like if you are in Instagram or like YouTube or these things, is very useful.
Okay.
But I have my camera.
She has a $2,000 camera. She ain't gonna let that go to waste.
Well, thank you so much for being our leading lady this week and being on our yes. podcast. We learned so much from you.
Oh, yes, Fanny. They let
thank you,
you
for opening our minds into a different culture.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh.
And what's your next project and how can people find you?
Yes.
So people can go to my website. Just type my name on Google and a lot of shit gonna appear.
You should do your website, Fanny De La Cheeks.
Fanny De La Cheeks. Chica. With Fanny with one N and Y.
Yes.
A-N-Y. Yeah. De La Chica. Or on Instagram, I have things, but I am on Spotify with my album, on YouTube.
Okay. But yeah, tell us.
I have my Vimeo account, like my website. In my website, you can find most of my films, my music videos.
Okay.
What is you it? Just type Fanny and shit just gonna come up?
Fanny De La Chica, yeah. Okay. You know, but you know how to spell my surname? D-E-L-A-C-H. You know De La Chica, how you write De La Chica?
Yeah.
That is like girl in English.
Yeah, right. I know.
I didn't know. So
I know a little bit. I'm from Miami, South Coast, but I'm from, I know that for sure. Okay. Well, thanks to all of you for tuning in to this week's episode. For more of our content, you can follow us on our social media at heap_ent. That's HEEP_ENT. And if you have feedback, suggestions, collab pitches, or anything else you want to tell us, you can reach our team at heapent@gmail.com. And until next time, see you later.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.